Welcome back. The necessity of doctrines. Why do we need doctrines in Christendom, in Christianity rather? The necessities of doctrines. Before I ask our pastor the first question, in fact, let me even ask you, because I'm a novice on this topic and I want to be properly put aright. So I don't know anything and I've come to ask you because I want to know. Please, sir, the first question that will give us concern here is, what are doctrines actually? When we say doctrines, what are doctrines?
Yeah. Well, doctrines is another word. Remember, it comes from doctor.
Okay. From and doctor.
One that doctors anything is one that shapes a bearing. That gives a bearing. That gives a focus.
Okay.
You know, so you are doctored to fulfill, you know, a desired purpose, a desired goal. You are we call it, you know, direction given.
Okay.
You know, that is being doctored. From there we have doctrine. And it's another word for teaching.
Wow.
Or instructions.
Thank God I said I don't know anything, because all these things you said now, I don't know anything about this before.
So doctrine is actually a belief.
Okay. Teaching.
Or a set of beliefs held and taught, as far as Christianity is concerned, by a church.
Set of beliefs held and taught by a church.
By a church. It's a teaching.
Okay.
Another word for doctrine is creed.
Creed, okay.
Or it called dogma.
Creed and dogmas.
Yes. It's also a conviction.
Conviction.
It's also a conviction.
A conviction.
Yes. So therefore, it is a belief.
Okay.
That's right.
It's a belief.
So it's to doctor, to give direction. So it's a teaching, a set of beliefs held and taught by a church.
Exactly.
It could also be called a creed, a dogma. It's a conviction. And finally, it is a belief.
It is a belief.
That's very
because
serious.
It's a conviction, it is a belief.
That's great.
Just all that put together makes up the word doctrine.
Doctrine.
Wow, sure. I would have thought it was something very short.
I'm telling you, something very simple. But this
it's
this,
simple now. Teaching now.
No, this explanation has
granted
me deeper insight.
You're opening us very well.
Okay.
Okay, sir. Why do they matter? If it's a belief, why does it really matter to us?
No, but do they really matter?
Or do they even really matter?
It matters.
Doctrines matter.
Yes, it matters because it defines your direction. It defines your identity. It defines your profession.
Okay.
You know, it gives answer to why you do certain things and why you will not do certain things. It defines your stand, spiritually speaking. It's doctrine.
Okay.
Wow.
And that is why you will hear some people say, don't go into doctrine because doctrines divide.
Yes, sir. That's very, very popular to
popular.
You know, say doctrines divide. Yes, doctrine is meant to divide.
Doctrines are meant to divide.
Yes.
Wow, wonderful.
They're meant to divide.
Okay. It's becoming interesting.
Because if there's no doctrine, then you will accept all. Jesus, just for instance, I mean, it is doctrine that will make you, follow a pattern of life. And we have different patterns of life.
Okay.
So if you say doctrines divide, yes, because your life is defined by the doctrine, by what you believe.
Your life is defined by what you believe.
By what you believe.
It makes you follow a pattern of life.
That is what doctrine does.
Okay, so
that's why it is
it divides, it differentiates.
Sure, it differentiates.
Okay.
Stands you out.
So they matter. To add further to that question of Brother Gabriel, are they necessary for our salvation, sir?
It is.
Wow.
It is God. Because when the Lord said, go and preach.
Yes, sir.
What are you going to preach?
For God so loved the world.
He came and gave us. Okay, remember. Remember that one of the things he told us to do is to, you know, he gave the parable of the talent, Luke chapter 19.
That's right.
What did he say? Occupy till I come.
Yes, sir.
And he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples?
Indeed.
Now, what was his word? Now, you notice that in Mark chapter 7, verse 28, you know.
Mark 7:28.
Yes.
Okay. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs.
Matthew 7:28.
And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine.
They were astonished at his doctrine. And his disciples are supposed to continue with his doctrine.
Mm-hmm. Continue with his doctrine.
Continue with his doctrines. Mm. And he gave us his word.
Yes, sir.
That is profitable for doctrine.
Mm. His word is profitable for doctrine.
The Bible is profitable for doctrine.
Yeah, Timothy said so.
Mm. Okay. So salvation, I mean, you know,
necessary.
Yes. Salvation is defined by your doctrine.
Wow. Salvation is defined by your doctrine.
Salvation is defined by your doctrine.
So make it clear. That
salvation is John 3:16.
Now, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
That's right.
That whosoever believe.
Yes, sir.
Believe what?
Believe in him.
Did we not say doctrine is a set of beliefs?
That's right.
That's true.
And in Mark chapter 16, he said, go into the world and preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Believe what? Believe the doctrine for salvation.
Okay.
So what is the gospel? The gospel itself is about doctrines. That is what we refer to as the doctrines of Christ.
The gospel itself is about doctrine.
It's about doctrine.
I thought the
doctoring you till you go to heaven.
But I'm becoming confused now because we have different doctrines, so-called, in Christendom today.
Okay.
There are a group of people who are called White Garment Church. That doctrine allows them to wear white garments to church. There are another group of people whose doctrines allow them to wear trousers for their ladies. There are another group of people that don't wear earring, and everybody calls doctrines. If the gospel is supposed to is doctrine and is supposed to doctor us to heaven, why do we have numerous doctrines?
Mm-hmm.
If you notice in Acts chapter 2.
Okay, sir.
Yes, sir.
Acts chapter 2.
On the day of Pentecost. Verse 41, the gospel was preached, and verse 42.
Okay, verse 41. Uh-huh. Then they that gladly received his word
they
were
received
baptized.
His word, we are
baptized.
Uh-huh.
And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls.
Uh-huh.
And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine.
In the apostles' doctrine.
And fellowship.
And the fellowship.
And in breaking of bread and prayers.
So they continued. The 3,000 continued in the apostles' doctrine.
Okay.
And remember that we are built, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20.
Yes, sir.
We are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. We are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the apostle told us in Galatians chapter 1, if any man preach any other gospel, if any man preach any other gospel.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Okay.
Galatians 1 from verse 6.
Yes.
I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ.
Yes.
Unto another gospel.
Yes.
Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ.
Yes.
Verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which he have received, let him be accursed.
Good. Now, you take note that the Lord Jesus himself said there will be the true worshippers, so there are false worshippers.
By that statement.
You have to take note of this. The true worshippers will worship him where?
In spirit and in truth.
That means there is the spirit of error and there is the spirit of truth. So, how will you know now? Your doctrine defines where you stand, whether you are in error or you are in truth. And what do you use to measure whether you are in truth or you are in error? Is to go back to the foundation, which is the teachings of the apostles'
doctrines according to what was stated.
So whatever else anybody believes, and there are many, many doctrines.
Yes, sir, there are so many.
So many doctrines, but we have only one doctrine of Christ, and we have only one direction, one spirit of God, and it's not a lot of confusion. Therefore, he gave us the Bible, the scriptures, as a guide. So when you say this one believe here, this one believe here, this one believe different, there must be the correct one. You know, doctrine is important because the doctrine either keeps you on the pathway to heaven or diverts you from heaven. That's why doctrine is important.
Okay. By this statement, I think, sir, this question, maybe you have answered it, but you can still answer it. if doctrines will actually guide your way to heaven, are there wrong doctrines and false doctrines and then true doctrines? Should we really watch out for that?
Sure.
Is there anything like that?
In the latter times, maybe we'll go to Timothy. I think the same chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 4.
Okay. From verse 1.
Yes.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly.
Yes.
That in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving it to seducing spirits.
They will note it. They will do what?
Giving it.
They will depart. The emphasis depart from is the depart. Depart from which faith?
Apostolic faith.
The faith that the apostles handed over to us.
Wonderful.
And that faith is the doctrine that doctored us on the right way to do things.
So if I should refer
doctrine is actually instructive.
Instructing.
So they depart from the apostles' doctrines. That's what the scripture is saying.
You, where else do you go? You go in error. Sure.
Depart from the faith,
giving it to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
Yes. And that is why in 2 Timothy chapter 4.
Okay.
He had to tell Timothy verse 2 and verse 3.
Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine.
And what?
Doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine.
Sound doctrine, but what?
But after their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables.
You see, so we have fables that are presented as truth.
Okay.
Okay.
In the scripture you've quoted, we have doctrines of devils, we have sound doctrines.
Yes.
Before, in fact, Brother Gabriel has even fast forwarded me. Before you come there, I'm still coming back to, are they necessary for salvation? I still want to also talk about that, sir.
Okay.
Because the gospel seems to be very easy. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And, you know, doesn't your salvation just end in believing in Christ?
When you say you believe in Christ,
yes, sir,
there is something about him that you believe. Okay. You don't say you believe in Christ. We have to tell you, what do you believe about Christ?
So are you saying my professing Christ is not enough?
How do you profess? You profess him through the doctrines you stand for, you believe.
You profess Christ through the doctrines you stand for.
I'm just writing because I don't want to miss any part at all.
That's it. You, that's what makes you. When you say you profess Christ, you are living the Christ. And remember, you're living the life of Christ. Yeah. And remember, now if you go to Matthew, I think Matthew chapter 5.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, that scripture is just coming. Verse 1 and verse 2.
Okay. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. Uh-huh. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Uh-huh. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Uh-huh. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Uh-huh. No, verse 1 and verse 2.
And seeing the multitudes, yes, he went up into a mountain. Uh-huh. And when he was set, his uh-huh disciples came unto him. Uh-huh. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying.
He taught them, saying. The thing that he said, the thing that he was teaching, they were his doctrines. If you go to chapter 7 and verse 28 and verse 29.
And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings.
These sayings. These sayings.
People,
listen. Listen. Go to from chapter 5. What was he saying? He was teaching us about what we call the beatitudes, the beautiful life, yeah, I mean, you know, whichever we call it. Mm-hmm. And then he went on. After that, he began to talk about the fact that we are light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that how we should shine our light.
That's mm-hmm true, sir.
And then he came to teach us that you talk about the law. He has fulfilled the law.
Fulfilled mm-hmm the law.
He came again to teach us the true meaning of murder.
Mm.
He came to teach us what the true adultery is.
Mm.
What divorce is.
That's right.
Concerning divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Concerning oaths.
Mm-hmm.
Concerning retaliation.
Mm.
Concerning giving. Arms giving. How to pray.
Mm.
Concerning fasting.
Mm-hmm.
Concerning wealth, how you deal with wealth, and how we know how we judge each other, and how to give. And he told us even the golden rule, where he said, as you would that men should do unto you, so do you unto men.
That's true.
And he taught us that there are two ways.
Yes, sir. The straight and the wide.
The straight and the wide gates.
Mm-hmm.
And quickly warned us in these same sayings that there will be false and there will be true teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And showed us the true way into the kingdom.
Mm.
And told us the parable of the two builders.
Mm-hmm.
And then verse 28 of chapter 7, he said, when Jesus has ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine.
So the sayings are the doctrine.
For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes.
The sayings are the doctrines.
The sayings are the doctrine.
Which are the teachings.
Now, when you come and say, I believe in Jesus, this is what you mean.
This whole thing from chapter 5 to 7.
So it is what Jesus taught that you actually
believe. That you believe.
My God.
And among other, this is just among other things he taught.
Mm-hmm.
And when his spirit came down again through his disciples, it began to set the church in order. And begin teachings continued. And none contradicted the other. Now, when you come and say, I believe and accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior, what you're actually saying is that whatever he says is what you believe. And you are actually referring to his teachings. You are referring to his doctrines. You are referring to, and his remember that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, we are called, to be conformed
to his image.
For whom he did foreknow. He did predestinate. We are predestinated, The destiny of a Christian is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Correct?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You want to read it?
Okay, Romans
8:29.
That's right. For whom he did foreknow.
Through foreknowledge.
He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Therefore, what is the destiny of a Christian?
To be like Jesus. To be conformed to the image of his Son.
Conformed to the image.
So what is the image of Jesus? Is it his nose?
No, sir. No. His character.
His character. And how do you get the character? He taught it.
Wonderful.
He taught it. Wow. So when you say you believe him, it's not just say, I accept Jesus my Lord and personal Savior. What did you accept? You can only accept when you have heard the doctrine. And not all followers of Jesus accepted his doctrine. There are other people that accepted him. Let's go to John chapter 6.
Hey, hallelujah.
Okay. John chapter 6.
Now in John chapter 6, maybe we'll just read it from verse 60.
From verse 60. John 6 from verse 60.
Okay.
Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Mm-hmm. Who can hear it?" Mm-hmm. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, mm-hmm. he said unto them, "Does this offend you?"
Now he was teaching them, making them know the real purpose of his coming.
That's true.
It was a teaching. Mm. It's another depth. He went deeper.
He was giving them doctrines.
He was now giving them doctrine. Mm. "Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you."
Yes, sir.
But when you were teaching love, just love your neighbor. There's no problem in it.
Mm.
And then when he was given the miracle, signs and wonders, they follow, because even now, a lot of people accept Jesus because they know that there's a solution
for
their problem if you accept him. Mm. And the way acceptance of Jesus Christ is presented, it's meant to look as if it is a Panadol that kills pain in the body.
Mm.
And the truth about it is, the way it is presented, it only gives a symptomatic treatment. It does not strike the soul.
Mm.
Because Jesus did not go to the cross just to heal the body.
Amen.
It is the soul he's after.
Amen.
So when you say you believe, what did you hear before you believed?
Mm.
And now they follow him. They go to church. Mm. They follow in his crusade. They are doing this. But when the things that they really need to believe for the salvation of their soul comes in, and it comes through the doctrines, then you will see different responses. This is one of it.
Okay.
Verse 62.
"What, and if he shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?"
Okay.
"It is the spirit that quickeneth; the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirits and they are life.
Uh-huh.
But there are some of you that believe not."
And he was telling them who were there in his crusade, who were following him up and down.
Mm.
But he knew there are some of you that believe not.
Mm.
Now, when you want to know whether this person is a true
believer
or not, it is not the confession you make with his mouth. It is his response to the doctrine.
Wow. So the doctrine is all you use.
Now, we have not finished. See the example now.
"But there are some of you that believe not."
Yes.
"For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believe not and who should betray him.
Uh-huh.
And he said, 'Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father.'"
Uh-huh.
"From that time..."
From that time, what happened?
"Many of his disciples went back."
Many of who?
Of his disciples.
What did he call them?
Disciples.
Disciples. Went back. Uh-huh.
"And walked no more with him."
Okay.
My God.
You see it now?
Wow.
Now go on, next verse.
"Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away?"
Okay.
"Then Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go?
Why?
Thou hast the words of eternal life.'"
Why? Because he was looking for eternal life.
Amen.
And anything that will, his focus, his attention is on what he will hear that will give him eternal life.
Mm.
You see the difference now?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And this is achieved only through the doctrine.
Wow. And some theologians tell us that Jesus, the Gospels, we have the Gospels, and we have the doctrines, which
we
is the words of Paul. And we have only Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But here, we are beginning to see that even the Lord Jesus Christ himself actually gave us doctrines, not just...
you're advancing. Hold on. Sir, let's come back. Necessary for salvation.
Yes.
So... In fact, I'm totally confused now because this calls for serious. One must be very careful. If not, from what you're saying, one can just profess Christianity and end up in hell.
Oh, sure.
So, the doctrines of Christ are his teachings, and the test of a true believer.
Yep.
He gives the doctrine to test a true believer.
To test, because that is where the chaff is separated from the wheat.
So you should not just come out and say you truly believe in Christ until you've accepted his doctrines.
Thank you. Because he said, if you continue in my word. Did those people continue?
No, they didn't.
He said, from that time.
That is when you'll be his.
From that time. And this is the position of Christians. Mm. They believe to a certain level and they will not go any further. They believe as far as being church membership, but they will not go further on how they should dress.
Mm.
They will not go further on how they should make sacrifices for the advancement of the kingdom. They will believe up till a certain level, and they will tell you, I don't go that area. Have you not heard some people say, I don't go to the area of the book of Revelation?
Yes,
sir. I'm just there with salvation and I'm okay. You are never okay. You have not even started. Because the doctrines will continue.
All the teachings of Christ are
his doctrines. It continues until we go.
There's a question where Gabriel asks you. I want to lay some emphasis on it concerning false doctrines and true doctrines. Okay, if the doctrines of Christ, the teachings of Christ are his doctrines, then where do we get, we have so many teachings that people who profess Christianity practice today. For instance, I used white garment as an example. They will go, or there are some that don't even wear footwear, and they will go to the Bible where Moses pulled his shoe before God at the burning bush, and they'll pick something from there. We have some that don't eat meat, certain type of meat, like the Adventists, who will tell you we are this, we are that, we should not eat this. Now, such doctrines, even for a preacher like Olukoya, who advises people not to eat something like
bitter cola,
cola nuts and catfish.
Catfish.
Oh. And some animals in Leviticus 11, the unclean animals, yes, that they should not eat such. So how do we, they bring all these things from the Bible.
Now, you see, that is why Apostle Paul told Timothy, in 2 Timothy, I believe, chapter 3, maybe from verse 8 or so, chapter 3, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, from verse 15.
Verse 15.
Yes.
Mm. And that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures.
Just from verse 14. Thank you very much. Mm. From verse 14, let's read it up to verse 17.
Okay. But continue down in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures.
From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures,
which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good
works. You see, now that means there are scriptures that will make you wise unto salvation. Now that simply means there are also scriptures that have no salvation virtue to it.
Okay.
That is any scripture that is so, that will not give you a picture, any doctrine. When he say, thou hast known the scriptures,
Holy scriptures,
that will make thee wise unto salvation, he's actually talking about the teachings, biblical teachings. That means there are scriptures that can take you away from Christ. You've heard where he said, you give heed to seducing spirits.
Yes, sir.
What is a seducing spirit? It's to seduce you from away from your husband. Take you away from your husband. Then you'll understand why in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, Apostle Paul then told Timothy this.
Study to show thyself approved unto God.
What did he say again?
Study.
Now the emphasis there is study. The emphasis is what? Study.
To show thyself approved unto God.
Approved unto God. But many of us, we study to show ourselves approved unto your church, unto a man, unto your denomination. You will hear that this is what we believe. That is also a product of another doctrine. It's a doctrine. This is what we in Catholic Church, we cannot go to God direct. We go through Mary, his mother. This is it. So if he's going to read the Bible, he's only going to read without understanding. That becomes, instead of using the Bible to filter what he hears from his denomination, he's using his denomination to filter what the Bible is saying. So now he says, well, let's read on.
Study to show thyself approved unto God.
A
workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Rightly dividing what?
The word of truth.
Now, if you rightly divide the word of truth, say for instance, water baptism.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Now, Jesus in Matthew 28, verse 19, he says, go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, Peter
after Pentecost, he said, go and baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, if you are right, if you are studying, rightly dividing the word of truth, you will now ask, if you are studying, people read the Bible instead of studying. They cram the Bible. Nobody tells you to cram this Bible. Don't cram it. Cramming it will put it on your head. But studying it will put it in your mind. Because that is what is quickened. It is only when you put it in with an understanding. It has to be part of you. It is an understanding that determines how you work in it. Not studying, it becomes academic. You are cramming, it becomes academic. Now when you say study and rightly dividing the word of truth, you will now ask, is there a confusion? Why is Peter? Peter was there when Jesus was talking. I'm using that as an example.
Yes, sir.
Now, you will discover that in the Old Testament, some food were forbidden. Yes. Some animals were forbidden from being eaten. Blood was forbidden from being eaten. Mm-hmm. But if you come to Colossians chapter 2.
Because I have three case studies here. The Adventists on food.
Whoever they are.
Celestial Church of Christ on no food were. And no, then just, the church on Trinity.
I'm just, we may not have to go too far because the solution is here in the Bible. I mean, the picture, I mean to say, is here in the Bible. Now, in Colossians chapter 2, and this is the way, in first and foremost, I put it in verse 8.
Okay. Now, Colossians 2,
verse yes. 8.
Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy.
Now, what did he say?
Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy.
So, now, listen very well. Let nobody spoil you through philosophy. Now, you then understand why Jesus Christ says they should beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. What were they doing? Because they were teaching philosophy.
That's right.
He called it in vain do they worship me, doing what?
Teaching
for doctrine, what?
Commandment of men.
Right. When they talk about tradition. Mm-hmm. Because he said, you did away with the tradition of men. Mm-hmm. There's a tradition of men. That's you are right. Eating without washing your hands. So it was not the law of Moses. It was the elders, a tradition. And before you know what, it became a religion. You see? And Jesus was saying, teaching them, you wash your hand to be clean.
Wash plates, wash spoons.
You wash plates, wash this before you eat. It's compulsory. No matter how clean it is, you wash it again because you think that there is some, uncleanness and things like that in it. And you're going to drink it. And you quickly let them know. And what he was saying was doctrine. Mm-hmm. He said, it's not what goes in that defiles you. The true defilement is what comes out of you. So now, he said, beware lest any man spoil you through
philosophy, vain deceit.
He called it vain deceit.
After the tradition of
men. There is a tradition of men.
That's right.
After the rudiments of the world.
Worldly rudiments, the way the world does their own things, you want to bring it also. You know, have you ever seen where you are, humility is defined by you walking into a man of God office and then you kneel down to greet him? That's a tradition of the Yorubas. And every Yoruba pastor will think that you are proud if you enter his office without a kneeling down. He has imported Yoruba tradition into Christianity. Or they lie down flat, you know, to show their respect for the elderly. That has nothing to do with the Christian faith. But that you do it, you have not sinned. But that it becomes sin because you don't do it is what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Because don't spiritualize and think that is Christianity. Somebody has committed sin until you call elders or shout at him for not doing it. My former pastor said that with my wife, your wife is going to serve you food. She must kneel down and then drop the food. And after service, I met him. I said, sir, don't bring Yoruba culture and teach us here. Sir, my own place, that is not what we define as a woman respecting the husband. So it's an individual thing. Disrespect is defined by the two people having a relationship and not you saying it. And that's the truth. Now, they want to make it look as if it is a Christian doctrine. That is what he's saying here. Okay?
Not and not after the tradition. Not after the
maybe you read it again. Maybe you take it again.
Colossians 2:8.
Yes.
Here, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the
fullness. In Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. What?
Bodily.
And what?
Bodily. And he are completed in him, which is the head of all principality.
Go to verse 18.
Verse
18. Okay, maybe we'll just go to verse 16.
Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of
temptation. Again.
Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink.
So catfish, what do you call it?
Yes,
catfish.
And other animals.
Now, if he was rightly dividing the word of truth, after reading the law in the Old Testament, and he's hearing what Apostle Paul is saying here, then you will have found the balance. Then his doctrine will have been according to the doctrine of Christ. Go on.
Okay. Which are a shadow of things to come.
They are only a shadow of things to come.
But the bodies of Christ.
Thank you very much. And he added in verse 18.
Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels. Intruding into those things which you have not seen. Vainly puffed up.
No, you're not understanding. You will have paused. Look at if you were reading verse 18 very well.
My God.
And Jabura. And the market. Holy market. Holy this. Why am I sitting again?
Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels. Intruding into those things which he had not seen. Vainly puffed up by his fleshy mind. And not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God.
Now, you see, we talk about the doctrine of Christ. Sir. And we talk about the doctrine which is according to godliness. There is the doctrine which is according to godliness. And there is the doctrine of men. Doctrine of devils. And there is, so now, but let's look at biblical doctrines. Some of them. Just look at some of them.
All right, sir.
For instance, let me just name a few. Now, in this Bible, is the doctrine of predestination.
Amen.
The doctrine of water baptism. Listen very carefully.
Okay.
And the doctrine of Godhead. And there's a doctrine of what do you call it? Evidence of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
There's evidence of the Holy Ghost. And then there's the doctrine of at what point are you saved? When are you saved? And then there is the doctrine of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. There's a doctrine of holiness, and there's a doctrine generally of grace and the law. And there's a doctrine in this Bible for Sabbath, the holy day, marriage and divorce, ministerial qualifications, tithes and offerings, and many more. But let me just pick some of these things.
Okay.
Let's look at the doctrine of predestination.
Okay.
Now the doctrine of also eternal security.
A true holiness believer in this generation will keep our life
with force. Well, no, I agree with you.
You see now, that's what I'm telling you. That's why we say they say doctrines divide. Now you see, whereas this Bible here teaches that we are saved by the foreknowledge of God. Through his foreknowledge, he therefore, because God knows you before you were formed, knows tomorrow from today.
Amen.
He knows those who will be saved and those who will not be saved. Amen. And therefore has the book of life written from the foundation of the world. And because of his foreknowledge, he saves you. When he saves you, he's not saving you by gamble. Therefore, you are eternally secured. When he baptizes you with the Holy Spirit, he gives you eternal life. But you have churches that teach that you can lose your salvation. There's a doctrine that teaches you lose your salvation. That doctrine is contrary to the Bible.
The one that says you write your name in the book of life.
So they believe that it is the day you come to Christ that you write your name in the book. I'm just saying it, that there are different teachings concerning the doctrine. Different doctrines for predestination. Different doctrines for eternal security. Different doctrines for water baptism. Some baptize infants. Some
sprinkle the water.
Sprinkle the water on you. And then confirm you later. And then some take you inside the water. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Some take you inside the water. In Jesus' name. Some put even three times. Some before you do it, you go through water baptism. Baptismal class. So you see why there are different doctrines. But certainly among these, there is the scriptural way. There is the scriptural way. You see why it is good not to study. Now come to Godhead. There is a doctrine for Godhead. Some believe that the Godhead is three persons. Whereas another says it is one God in three offices.
Some say it's two.
So gives room to the doctrine of Trinity and then oneness. So you see that different on the same issue. Then we have the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Some say when you speak in tongues, when you speak in tongues, you have the Holy Ghost. And therefore, evidence that you have the Holy Ghost, begin to speak in tongues. And they teach people how to speak in tongues. While some others say you can only speak in tongues as the Spirit given the utterance. Now, then again, you have some. So which one will be correct? Which one will you say is correct? And then, when are you saved?
Yes, sir. That's very
you know, some teach that the day you come and they open your mouth and believe the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior, he said, you are saved. Whereas some say, no, you have only come and then you have responded that you should come to me, only the labor heavy lady, and I will give you rest. Now, when you give your life to Christ, has he received you? There is an evidence he has received you. Until he has received you, you have given your life to Christ, and he has to accept you. And the reason is very obvious. It's very obvious. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning. And he knows everybody coming in. Remember, there were even more than, there were 70 of them. And that left those disciples that left. They left only 12 behind. And he said even among them is one that was a devil. So you see? So while you are saying that is my disciple, he knows one was a devil. And so he knows all. Knowing that there are weak and tares, it's not just everybody that shout Jesus, 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 Jesus. That he said the foundation of God standeth sure. He knoweth them that are his. And they have forgotten that in John chapter 6 and verse 35.
John 6, 35.
Or 37.
That's 7.
Yes.
All that the Father giveth me.
Now, hear what Jesus is saying. What did he say?
All that the Father giveth me.
What did the Father give to him? We come to him. When? Then they will come to him.
And if that cometh to me.
Then there is another one that will come.
And will in no wise cast out.
There are people that come on their own. On their own. He didn't call you, he doesn't know you. So that you understand. Why he called the foolish person, he said, I never knew you.
Amen.
I did this in your name. Mark chapter 7. Yes, he said, get thee from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you because your name was not in the book of life. Why? While others are saying that everybody going to church, we are all going to heaven. Once you say Jesus is my Lord, you are going to heaven, you are saved. So which one shall we believe? And concerning the gifts of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Some believe that the days of prophecies are gone. And those who follow the ministry of Will Abraham, they believe that only Will Abraham can prophesy. So he has gone with the gifts. And then some also believe that you cannot operate any gifts again. I have seen a preacher in what do you call this church? ERCC Church in Akwanga. That's my hometown. And I went for a burial service there. And he was at the altar there, referring to the Pentecostal churches that were in town that organized program and tell people to come for healing. And they were saying that they claim that they can heal. They claim that they should come for healing. Why they say they don't know where hospital is? If they truly have healing, why don't they go to? So he's already denying it. And you remember the scripture that says they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. You know, a pastor, in fact, not just a pastor, very reverend, that's their title. Not just ordinary reverend, but a very reverend. And he was saying that, and then people were laughing. Be thinking he's saying something. So whereas another group will say, the Bible says, this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out them. Therefore, they will conduct deliverance. They will lay hand on the sick shall recover. So which one will you believe? And holiness, some say, doesn't matter.
Very popular today.
Very matter, you can dress anyhow, you can dress anyhow, the Lord is good. Another group said, without the holiness, it is written, no man shall see the Lord. And that what is they teach, what is outside doesn't matter, it's what is inside. Another group say what is outside is a reflection of what is inside. And so which one are we going to believe? And their interpretation, different interpretation of grace. Grace. We are no more under the law. We are now under grace. Therefore, don't give me any law. Don't give me anything. It is what is in my mind. I feel like this. This is how I feel like. And I feel like I am led by the Spirit. I am this. So we are not under the law. So there should be no do's or don't. Which one shall we follow? Which one shall we follow? And then some say the Sabbath continue. Saturday is still holy. And then some think that say that Roman Catholic, you replace
Saturday with Sunday.
And therefore that is the Antichrist. And so if you are worshipping on Sunday, it is a mark of the beast. It's a mark of the beast that was spoken of. Whereas another group says it is only a tradition of the apostles, whereby they worship, they gathered to praise God on Sunday, being the first day of the week, the day Jesus Christ resurrected. And they believe that Sunday is a holiday, not a holy day. Amen. And that there is no day under grace that is now holy. So which one shall we follow? And then you come to marriage and divorce. When you come to marriage and divorce, this one believe this way, another believe this way. If you have three wives or two wives before you come to Christ, it is the first.
The first one
that you married, that is your only one. That you marry the second one, even after coming to Christ, before coming to Christ, he says it's not your wife. Therefore, take her, put her away. And another group says, no, that it is contrary to the Bible. The only thing the Bible says is that you cannot be a pastor. You cannot be a deacon. Because a bishop must be husband of one wife, a deacon must be husband of one wife, according to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus. Now, whereas they now go further to argue that under grace, if the woman agrees to be with you, you should not divorce her. Under grace, if you say she's not your wife, you cannot restitute. You restitute only what is restitutable. Right. Restitution does not include a human being like that, that you took 20 years ago.
Wow.
You have de-shaped her. You have devalued her. You have depreciated her. Everything standing has fallen. And then you are saying it's not your wife. Or you are able to take her back to the estate that you were when you met her. But it's not possible. One of the children you got by her is, you know, so that is another group. If you break in your marriage, you divorce,
yes,
he said you cannot remarry. Another group gives other conditions that you can remarry. In fact, even another latest group of the followers of Mr. William Branham says if you are free to marry more than one wife as a Christian. Why that if you, in fact, you are not a man if you don't have more than one wife.
As a Christian.
Christian group, another Christian doctrine. It's a doctrine. Whereas another doctrine
fight that other doctrine.
Amen.
And to tell you that a Christian man must be one wife and one husband.
Mm.
And no room for divorce.
Amen.
And except under the condition that is in the Bible.
Amen.
You know, so which one will you follow now?
Amen.
To be acceptable by God? A ministerial qualification. Some say you must go to Bible school.
That's very common to
before you can be a minister.
Even
some have gone further. You don't even have to go to just Bible school. You must have degree.
A degree. That's right.
You can have a degree in engineering before it qualifies you to be a pastor. Okay? Whereas another group says that when God calls you, he does not send you to Bible school.
Amen.
He anoints you for the thing that he calls.
Hallelujah.
You. And some even employ pastors. In fact, two days ago, I received a call from somewhere in the East. A young man called me and said he was evangelist somebody or pastor somebody, something like that.
Mm.
And that, please, he wants to apply to come and work in my ministry.
Wonderful.
I said, I don't understand. You apply, you want me to employ you? He said, yes. I said, do churches employ pastors? He said, yes, sir, and they pay their salary. He said, yes, they give you terms and conditions. I said, eh. I said, I'm not hearing that. So pastors are employed. I said, I'm sorry. We don't employ pastors in my church. He said, I'm sorry. It was so funny. I couldn't go further in the discussion with him because it was so laughable that the church had degenerated to where you now employ people. You are no more giving service, supplying your part to the body of Christ. In your local church assembly, you are now going somewhere to be employed. Then you'll be promoted. Then you'll be posted. Then you'll be, you know, and things like that.
Right.
And it goes on even with tithes and in offerings.
Mm.
Some don't believe in tithe,
mm.
and some say you must pay tithe according to the scriptures that they believe. So all this, you can now see that why doctrine is necessary. And then why Paul said you should study. If you don't study, you won't know who is wrong and
who is right.
But doctrine will define your eternal destination.
Amen.
Will define your present estate where you stand as a Christian. It defines your faith.
Okay, take a little break now, in fact, so that we can digest all these powerful nuggets our pastor has been dropping. We'll be right back after this short break.